come up and lead you into the first lecture.
Right, thank you. Well, welcome everyone. This subject, the nine subtle bodies, has been on my mind for a long while. To try to bring this to people, because it is a kind of foundation for understanding how Rudolf Steiner's work makes a bridge between the religion and the science of the past, and how the human is going to have to pick up that impulse in the future. Why is everything falling apart? Why is it like nothing's working anymore? Why is it that people seem to have attitudes that are like, wow? I was in Kinko's and I saw this self-help book there. You can, you're Xeroxing, you could buy this book. It said, if you're not first, you're last. I thought, how wonderfully social. if you're not first, you're last. Wow. So Steiner's work was to say to people, that is just a symptom. It's a symptom that actually your humans are being given the keys to the kingdom. And there are no rules anymore, because we're free to determine what is integrity, what is moral for ourselves. We're free to do that. And that is a huge shift in consciousness that Rudolf Steiner calls consciousness soul. And it's a shift away from a level of consciousness that Rudolf Steiner called mind soul or intellectual soul. Mind soul is the consciousness of law that is imposed from the outside to keep individuals in order. We could say it's the inheritance from Rome. And prior to that, in the ancient world, the theocratic rules came not from legislation, but from the gods. And so it was a theocratic society. No one would think of going against the gods. And the priests who were the representatives of the gods understood that, because they go into the Holy of Holies and come out and say, this is what God told me to tell you. That is still going on in parts of the world today, folks. And that consciousness is designed to develop discursive, argumentative intellect. That's its purpose. The rule of law. And it's a particular soul body. And when a human being has that consciousness, their consciousness is said to be, in an esoteric language, their consciousness is directed to that subtle body. Intellectual soul is a body of energetic thought and emotional patterns that are based on needing to be told what to do through law, through logic, through rational thought. It's not the only way that humans can operate, but it's the current paradigm for a large chunk of the world. But that subtle body, the intellectual soul, has evolved into consciousness soul. And I'll explain that as I go along. And these processes are natural unfoldings of what are biological imperatives. I'll give you pictures from that also. And we'll do exercises, trying to see exercises in geometry where we have to assign how we feel when we're unable to understand a particular concept. There are higher levels of geometries that have been developed that require much more flexibility of soul than the ancient world's sacred geometry. They require consciousness soul rather than intellectual soul in order to understand them. We're going to play with them and have conversations about it so you can experience what it is to be in a particular subtle body with a particular feeling gestalt around a thinking process in that subtle body. My aim in the time we spend together is to actually give you experiences of the subtle bodies rather than just giving you concepts, although I have to kind of set the stage tonight, so bear with me a little bit while I use some languaging that may not be familiar to you. But my plan is, once we get the outline, to actually have exercises that we will go through, and I'll say, how does it feel to have your intellect non-functional in the face of your consciousness? That is, from an esoteric point of view, that's what we're going through. This is why it's impossible for politicians to agree, because everybody can bring their intellect to bear on the most minute points of law, the most minute points of discursiveness out of intellect. But there's no consciousness of the implications that we're about to have a huge, natural, catastrophic series of events happening. Mayor Bloomberg now just proposed a $25 billion proposal to build a seawall around New York City to deal with climate change. And it'll make some jobs. And when Armageddon comes, there'll already be a wall around New York. Okay, so we're on a cusp now, everyone, where the intellectual soul as a subtle body and the consciousness soul are not communicating. From a point of Steiner's hit on evolutionary consciousness, that's what's happening. And younger people are being born with subtle bodies that have more access to consciousness soul values and capacities than they do to intellectual soul capacities and values, because the tipping point has already happened. Happened later, prior to the French Revolution. The revolutions are the beginning of consciousness soul. Consciousness soul says, I revolt. I rebel against authority from the outside. French Revolution, Russian Revolution, American Revolution. And then the great migrations of peoples across the land the great revolution of the people, which is still going on. Because we're in consciousness soul. But we don't know it. We're still trying to solve it as if we were an intellectual soul looking for Louis XIV to make rules to solve the problems. Yeah, the Roy. Oh, the king will figure it out. No, the king won't figure it out. We don't have kings anymore. And if we do, they're all being dethroned. Have you noticed? That's a symptom that people are being born with subtle bodies that have different capacities. They are, and it's frightening and exhilarating all at the same time. So my goal in the week is to share with you some pictures of why it's so important to understand that these nine subtle bodies, we could have three subtle bodies, we could have four, we could have seven, we could have nine, we could have ten, depending upon how you want to look at them. And as we go along, I'll explain what that means. Because when you start to get deeper into these subtle bodies, you realize that each one of them has a particular quality of consciousness that you can recognize yourself. If you go on an inner path, you can recognize yourself filing like a Rolodex through the subtle bodies to trying to get some satisfaction. Sometimes you're consciousness is of your physical body. That's when you're in pain. Physical pain. You're very aware of your physical body, and your soul is like, yeah, what about my toe? So when that happens, you are not a whole human. You are that pain. And your consciousness is designated to be in that physical body monitoring it, because the hierarchies are the ones who design that givenness of your physical body. Then when it's not functioning according to their plan, you better pay attention. And that's a given. That comes from the outside. You do it or... Okay, so when we're in the physical body, when we're in the life body, when we're in the lower soul body, when we're in the middle of the soul body, when we're in the higher aspects of the soul body, when we're in realizing that the whole world is made of consciousness, where we're realizing that there is something called initiation science, and we're realizing that a part of me is living in another dimension simultaneous to the part of me is here, we're just moving up and down through the bodies. When I do something altruistic and sacrifice for somebody else, I'm not in my physical consciousness. Because my physical consciousness is, if you're not first, you're last. That's physical. That's my body is designed to do that. And our economic system is based on those physical laws, commodities, supply, demand. As you buy things, they age and get old. So amortization, interest on payments, blah, 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 are just physical rules that have been put in the wrong body. And that's why they make weird things happen to us emotionally. They're right for rocks and stones, not right for people. Now, so the idea of nine subtle bodies has deep implications for understanding contemporary issues of how come it's like everything seems to be falling apart. And it is because it's an evolutionary reality. It's not because we're bad. It's just that we're trying to solve problems in one body with the rules that govern other bodies. It doesn't work. So when you're in your life body, you have magical thinking like when you're 5 and 6 years old. Well, when you get audited, you can't do magical thinking. It does not, you know, it may be great for when you're wrestling with your kids in the living room, but not when you're being audited. So my goal is to try to say, when you shift like that, you're actually in another body. That's when Rudolf Steiner says a subtle body, that's what he means. There's a whole realm of consciousness that is connected to a, that is like a body. It's, and the reason why it's like a body is it's organized. And the reason why it's organized is because it has organs of perception and cognition. So your intellect has organs of cognition. That's how you check whether or not you've made an error. Your feeling life has organs of perception, which allows you to try and monitor why somebody's frowning at you. That's an organ in a body. Your feelings when somebody says something bad to you is an organ of perception in the subtle body of the sentient body and the sentient soul. It's an organ, a sense organ for feelings. So when we look at these things from an esoteric point of view, psychology has a whole other mood to it. Okay, so that's the little preamble. This is the reason why I'm doing this, is because if you work with this, you just look at some of the symptoms in today's world, and it's just because we're of these, what we could call misalignments of the subtle body. If you go to an anthroposophical doctor, they will talk to you about misaligned sheaths. That's what they're talking about. You're trying to solve feeling problems with your intellect. It just doesn't work. You're trying to solve intellectual problems of truth because your consciousness is not able to lift the truth up into an actual experience. It's simply something you remembered reading from a book. You haven't assimilated it in your consciousness. It's only in your intellect. It's not in the right body. It can be. But the rule is, if you want to go from intellectual soul to consciousness soul, you have to understand blame. That's a biggie. Because blame is what prevents you from going to consciousness, keeps you stuck in shoulda, coulda, woulda, he said, she said. Somebody's to blame for this, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. Yeah, that's an intellectual body idea. A consciousness soul idea of that is blame is useless. Let's see what the dynamic is. What are the polarities? How can we work in the polarities so even if I don't agree with you, I don't want to slit your tires in the parking lot? How can I arrange my soul so that happens? That's a consciousness soul idea. Intellectual soul is, this is what the answer is, and my people are going to tell your people, unless you go by my answer, you're going to be hearing from my people. This is Sharia and Jihad. You're going to hear from my people. It was just a doctor and his patient. The doctor was stoned almost to death because they were in a consultation room without a dueña, without a chaperone. They were dragged out of the consultation room and stoned. The doctor, hello. And the woman needed immediate attention, so he took her in the room, and then someone saw it and they blew the whistle and moral police came and dragged them out into the square and they stoned the two people. She's in the hospital and they don't know where the doctor is. This is today's world. And at some level, that makes sense to people in some body. At some level, in one of the bodies, that makes sense. And it does, at that level. That's somewhere between sentient soul and intellectual soul, somewhere in there. We'd have to go there and kind of talk about how that happens in order to make sense out of it for the way we live here. Because we're dealing with other things of consciousness, and our attacks are not people getting dragged out in the street and getting stoned. They're getting stoned by pressing buttons on devices. That's a different kind of stoned. So it's they're a different kind of mind police, you know. And we're just finding out about that. Isn't that interesting? Because it's consciousness soul. And consciousness soul. All the gunk comes to the surface. That's the purpose of it. Purpose of consciousness is to say, what's the consciousness of this that's happening? What is happening here? Let's bring it all out and look at it. It's just humans doing stuff, you know. Yeah, it is. Okay, so here's a diagram. And this is a diagram of the dynamic that I'm describing to you. And then we'll look at the handout. This is the great bathtub, as it's called, the cosmic bathtub. And from the time back in the day when people lived in the spirit, they lived in a realm where nature spoke to them, the gods who lived in nature spoke to them in dreams, or we had prophets in dreams. People lived in the spirit, they could have a dream and tell people what to do, and people did it. They could go up and go in and transfer a couple of weeks on a mountain and come back and trash the golden calf, and everybody went, okay, all right, you're the boss. You got little horns coming out of your head, but it's okay. So that's people lived in the spirit, and they expected that the answers for things were going to come from the spirit to them to tell them what to do. So there were all kinds of hierarchies that developed of people who had access to that other level of consciousness. And as they developed, religions developed and cultures developed until there became a low point where people had lost the idea that the gods were doing things, and it just became people who represented the gods were doing things. This is politicians, priests. So the spirit became a secular thing, and when that happened, there was the danger that it would become just so secular that everything would be seen just as, you know, humans. The gods were like, yeah, that's the way it used to be. There used to be spirit, but, you know, you can't make, well, some people can make money with it, I guess, yeah, but... So that low point, Rudolf Steiner calls the turning point of time. And he said there was an event there that happened that, and we'll get there maybe on the last day, talking about that, what that is, where there was the possibility of people awakening to the fact that their lives were being driven by funky laws that had nothing to do with them. And in the Bible, that's called the Pharisees. So there was just a bunch of laws that were saying, you can't brush your teeth on Monday, or whatever, or we'll find out about it. And we'll come and do things to you. Because we decided this is not a cool thing to do. So that's where the spirit telling, the spirit being imposed on people from the outside, in the beginning, their subtle bodies were blended into nature, like a deer. Their subtle bodies had access to pictures that were coming out of nature that were living in them, that told them when to harvest crops, told them how to stalk a deer, told them how to take animals out to the pasture to mate them, when to gather seeds from what plants were good to eat, what plants were not good to eat, etc., etc. They received their knowledge from the spirit, nature spirits, But as that got evolved, eventually humans got in there and said, we're going to tell you what the gods are saying to you. And as that happened, there was an evolution towards the idea, away from the spirit, towards, you know, we could say towards material things, towards implements, magical implements, buildings, stuff. Civilization, we could say. And there are stages through that, the Bronze Age and Stone Age and then the Bronze Age. And at each thing, cultural things developed so that people could put things by, and then economies were developed, but then you need laws to govern the economies. And what happened as it got further and further down, the consciousness of people moved away from the spirit down into the physical realm. They became more interested in manipulating the physical realm than in having experiences that were transcendent to try to allow the spiritual beings that stood behind nature to speak to them. In the nature religions, that's the goal. But as things evolved into the laws of whatever, it became a secular thing, and then it was a physical consciousness. So we have a spread from a spiritual consciousness to a physical consciousness. And all the laws and everything became laws about the physical realm. They were based on cause and effect, we could say. Cause and effect is the way in which the physical body is organized. It has a kind of mineral consciousness. If we drop the stone, it falls to the ground. You got problems with that? Go talk to somebody. But, you know, you're not going to change that. We call that a given. So in the past, the given for people was coming from the spiritual world. And eventually it evolved to the point where the given was just something we had to overcome. We had to learn to make better granaries, better plows. We had to take our wooden plow and put a piece of bronze on the tip of it so we didn't have to keep sharpening the darn wood because of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then we learned to burn the rocks to get the ore out to make a better thing than bronze. Although they did pretty good with bronze, they built the pyramids and dress the stones with bronze tools. So good luck. Try to do that today. So the physical realm attracted the consciousness of people, and it was going to stay there. And in some instances, it has stayed there and actually gone down into sheaths that are below the level of the mineral. And the consciousness of those bodies below the level of the mineral uses the forces that are the potential of the minerals to amplify energy. Things like minerals like silica, which is the basis of all of our IT consciousness, is a mineral consciousness that is holding all of your bank accounts. Yeah, so part of this downward folk just kept on going. And then we get Oersted in 18-something finding electromagnetic fields around currents in wires. And we get magnetism and other forces that are electromagnetism, atomic power, blah, blah. Those are sheaths, subtle bodies of consciousnesses that are highly organized but have their own, they're below the physical. And they're very intelligent because they are totally given. They're totally ordered from the outside. They're structured. Go argue with somebody about the molecular structure of silicates. Good luck. You know, this is what it is. I will let you play with it and make it very pure. And when you make it very, very pure, we'll show you how we can kind of do stuff and move electricity and magnetism across that silica, and you can, wow, you can call home on that one. So we have one stream of subtle bodies that are being developed that are going below the physical, below the mineral, into the forces of the mineral for consciousness. Hopefully this is making sense. However, at that time, it was possible, because of certain things that we'll get to in the future, we'll talk about, that there was an upward swing where people began to say, you know, I, as a person, can enter into my own subtle bodies and change them. And that process is called initiation. I can initiate changes in the way my subtle bodies operate so that I can determine for myself where the next intent, where the will in the creation should go. It's called co-creation, collaboration with the divine world through the principle of freedom. So the ancient consciousness was given, and the new consciousness is based on freedom. And in the beginning was not so much freedom. If you tried to be free, they would trash you. So this is, you know, Jesus and the Pharisees. So if you tried to go against it, you got trashed. You know, Roman Empire, if you're not a Roman, forget it. And that began in Greece. If you're not a Greek citizen, you're a slave. And in Rome, the whole economy was based on slavery. And that was inherited here. That was what our great civil war was fought about, was slavery. Because, and what was it about? It was about freedom. Yeah, and it's still the battle. So freedom is the new role, but it's a sticky one because in the given, you can always go back and say, the devil made me do it. Through the principle of freedom, you have to prove intent. This is the law. Was it premeditated or an act of passion? What's the diff? Well, if it's an act of passion, you're not considered to be truly human because you were acting in a way that was not free. Well, why was it not free? Well, you were obsessed by a demon or what, you know? It's a funny space here. So we have to make laws now that try to deal with this issue. Well, was it a free act of somebody who was premeditated? That means your consciousness is at least at the level of intellectual soul, where you could reason things out. If you can't reason things out, then there's a whole other set of laws that govern you, because you're not fully human. This is subtle bodies. And I know it sounds strange, but these are the implications of Rudolf Steiner's work, is to understand the culture today and the issues in the culture that are just going after each other. Do we need to have a government where everything is by the law, or can we allow people to be free? This is red state, blue state, you know. However you want to look at it. This is the dialogue. Okay, what kind of freedoms can we allow you to have? Or are you going to just take it and do stupid things with it? Yeah? So, this diagram of the spirit coming down into the physical, and then part of that stream going actually below the physical, where there are very powerful forces, but are not part of the upstream towards freedom. They are still in the realm of the given. And that's our kind of drama of the subtle bodies. And as human consciousness moves through these different bodies within incarnating individuals were developed and born that carried the marks of the particular levels of consciousness that needed to be developed in order to be able to deal with freedom. We need to be able to deal with the physical realm independent of the given in order to be able to correct errors in our thinking. If we can't correct errors in our thinking, if we can't focus our soul body in such a way that we can correct an error in the thinking, then every bridge we build will fall down. So we've had to learn to adjust our subtle bodies to the conditions of this gradual approach towards the physical realm to enable the consciousness of the humans to move into the physical realm and then decide to lift the physical realm back into the spirit. This is then the cathedrals in the 1600s, to take materials and to make them an image of the divine. That the transformation of the physical into an image of the divine world, of the hierarchies, but out of creativity and freedom, rather than this is how you have to do it. There was just recently, you know, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, there's a Serbian church here, and a young man came over and spent a year on his back up in the cupola of the church painting icons. They're gorgeous icons, if you were ever in that church, amazing church. It's over on Winding Way. And a year and a half after he did that work, one of the windows in the cupola sprung a leak during a rainstorm and damaged part of the paintings. So he was called back in, and then a reporter from the Bee heard about it and went and interviewed him and said, well, gee, you know, these are amazing icons. Where do you get the ideas from them? He said, oh, I don't get the ideas. And he said, well, how do you know what to do? And he had this book. He said, the little finger of Jesus needs to be this long and this wide. And everything in all the pictures is already in the book. This is the way you do it. And he said, you know, that's my tradition, is to do that. He said, if I did that, it would be very bad for the church if I made something up. If I made something up, the whole thing would be, you know, because it's through that portal that bad stuff comes in when I don't do what I'm told. Yeah? That was the way it was. So the subtle body of the individual is now connected to the physical in such a way that I have to consciously will myself to go in another direction. And the initiation process is that I have to go back down through the subtle bodies and replicate in myself the level of consciousness in that subtle body in order to be able to pull from it memories that are stuck in there that create misalignments. Certain memories in my sentient soul will not transfer to my intellectual soul because they're beliefs that are unfounded in the intellect. They're just feelings that are personal to me because of some circumstance I had. I can't ever corroborate it to a rational person because it's just a personal event. That's a misalignment. They're actually meant to connect to each other. My life forces are actually meant to connect to my thinking process. And my thinking process is meant to incorporate feelings that allow me to eventually experience the feelings that you are having. I can't do that unless I connect to the feelings I am having. And I can't do that unless I go back and look at the irrationality of those feelings in the context of some type of rational mindset. See, that's what I mean by misalignment. So when they get misaligned, it means that when I have an event and I go back through the bodies, I just go bum, 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 back to wherever the stuck place is, and then I just keep bouncing off that stuck place because I can't go back deeper to go in there and get energy from that body and bring it up and then move it forward. I just go back to the spot where it jumped the track when I was whenever, and then it goes back there and says, no, you don't have the right access code. We can't let this pass through. We're going to bounce this back to you. Go talk to your server. We don't know what's happened to you. We're looking at it. We can't see. You're not on our website. So something's either at your computer or you're on a funky website or your server's down or we don't know what the hell's going on with you. We're monitoring you. We don't know what's going on with you because you're not shaking hands with our equipment. So that stuff is just projected out of the subtle bodies into technology. Technology is subtle bodies manifest. And the circuitry and the patternings and all that stuff is just subtle body activity manifest in physical equipment. And that's our metaphors. Wires or nerves and blah, blah, blah. Portals for information or icon. That used to be the door to the divine. Now it's the door to an app. Yeah, so that's where we are in the realm of subtle bodies. So please take your hand out. And we'll look at page 1. So what I tried to do, these first 1, 2, 3, 4, these first diagrams are many hours of bloodshot eyeballs for many years trying to make sense of what Rudolf Steiner is saying. Because I know in there somewhere he's got the goods, but wow. So what I found is there's a pattern to this. And I will share with you the pattern, and we'll go through these little diagrams so you can get a feeling of it. I'll keep returning to them as we go, but the pattern is that what is above and what is below are connected to each other. That the highest stuff and the lowest stuff are connected. And then the next to the highest stuff and the next to the lowest stuff are connected. And then the next one of the highest that's lower than that one and the one that's higher and the lower, they are connected. And then there's one in the middle that is the great connector. comes from alchemy. As above, so below. As outer planets, inner planets, with the earth as the grid. You know, the earth is the light bulb between the outer and the inner planets, the flow of the effluvia between the outer and the inner planets is the life force of the earth. That's an old alchemical picture. So this above, below, they mirror each other, but there is always an agent in the middle that is the fulcrum. That is the catalyst, the agent of transformation. And that is the I being of the human, because the I being of the human is the only one that's endowed with the potential for freedom. And we have to be free so we can rectify. We have to go below in order to connect it to above. If we don't go below, then we end up being a theosophist. You know, Rudolf Steiner said that. He talked to the theosophists. He said, it's all peace and light and love, you theosophists. But guess what? There's more to it than peace and light and love. He was pretty fierce about that. He said, hello, come on. Got to get down and dirty here a little bit, but we don't want to stay down and dirty. So we have to understand that the prima materia, the corpus, the dead stuff, is the seed of the highest. And the human is stuck in that paradox. The human is stuck in the conundrum of being a mixed bag of, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intention. So we start out with all these intentions and we go, well, why? It's because we're the designated, as I just said a while back, we're the designated strikeout kings, you know. So this one in the center is a fulcrum for the transformation. The purpose of the human is transformation of what has fallen back into a spiritual realm, so that the spirit can once again appear in matter to spiritualize the earth, to make all of the creation that is suffering, because we have freedom, to bring it back again into wholeness and joy. That's our role eventually, to do that. We are the designators to do that. But we have to understand that it will not be done for us. In the past, it was done for us, but ended up in the conundrum of the physicality of the divine world into a bunch of laws and platitudes. And now we consciously have to turn that back into experience. It has to be an experience rather than a dogma. So only we can do it. So if you look at figure one, you see a picture that Rudolf Steiner uses again and again to explain how this fulcrum idea operates in the physical realm. Up above, you have life ether, chemical or number ether, light ether, warmth ether. That is what he calls the etheric realm. We have a body in us that's made of what are known as etheric forces. Etheric forces are forces that create activity in the natural world. That's when he talks about ethers, he's just using an old term for how the patterns of activity in the natural world operate, that they are intelligent, we could say. And then down below you have earth element, water element, air element, fire element. The elements are the manifest conditions of the ethers. So I have, if we look in the middle where the fulcrum is, we have warmth, ether, and fire element. You see they're connected. So if you light a fire, the fire is an element because it's manifest, but it's the least manifest of the elements. It's kind of going away. It shows up where things are going into the invisible realm, but it in and of itself is perceptible to us. But if I stand, if I build a nice big fire and I stand 50 feet away from it, I can feel the warmth of it. But I can't see it. I can just barely feel the warmth. And we say that warmth, if I look at somebody I love or meet somebody who I'm friendly with, that same feeling of warmth comes from them. But it's not a sense perception, it's a soul perception, because warmth is rarefied fire. Fire is rarefied but still perceptible, and warmth is rarefied fire. Fire, then in reverse, is the corpse of warmth. Warmth dies into fire. Warmth develops things. Fire destroys things. So in the fulcrum, there's this flip between the unmanifest potential side in the ethers and the manifest lost potential side in the elements. In the ancient language, there was a code words for this. The manifest side was called coagula, was coagulated spirit, the elements. And the unmanifest side was called salve. S-O-L-V-E, like solvent, the dissolving. So I have the dissolving condition and the manifesting condition. And under the manifesting, there is the very manifest earth element and a little more fluid water, and even more fluid and ephemeral and unmanifest air, and then just on the edge of being something is fire going towards being unmanifest, and then I get warmth as the most manifest ether, and then in the fire is also a light, and then the transformative power of what Steiner calls the chemical ether, and then finally life. And nobody knows what the heck that is or where it comes from, but we're all into it. The most unmanifest potential. So you can take all of the chemicals and put them together in a test tube at the right temperature, and you will not get an amoeba. So, huh? Well, it's got all the stuff, but doesn't have the life. So if you're into biodynamics, this diagram number one is a lifetime meditation of how plants and animals and minerals and water and weather and all of these forces that are in the natural world, how they operate and how If you're a healer and into physiology, same thing. So it fits the pattern of there is something that's higher and unmanifest, more spiritual, and something that's manifest and appears. And then in between is this kind of alternating state of an oscillator that goes between appearing and not appearing, appearing and not appearing. Go look at a fire and think about that. It's there and sort of not there at the same time. Okay, so that's a picture of how subtle bodies are operating. Because you have some subtle bodies that are very manifest and very connected to elements, and some subtle bodies, as you get up into consciousness, soul, that aren't manifest at all. They're just levels of consciousness. You can't see them for love nor money, but you can experience them. They're just not sense perceptible. And when they're manifest, they only manifest for a moment and then they go away. So we have to have a whole other organ in those higher subtle bodies to kind of hold on to them, because they're very slippery and wiggly. The experiences are very wiggly. And that's why they're difficult to talk about, because if you don't have the organ, if you're using a Brownie Hawkeye camera to take pictures of them instead of a digital movie thing or whatever, you just ain't going to get it. You're just taking snapshots of spiritual events. You have to participate and then reform the spiritual event yourself in order to have it be bona fide. In order to do that, you have to have organs in the higher subtle bodies to make things work. This is just the preamble. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to test you on this. This is not. But I want to show you the pattern. Because if you take this pattern into sleep, a lot of the stuff we do will make a lot of sense. It's just the pattern. Don't worry about the facts. If you're in facts, then you're just elementally too earthed. It's not about facts. It's just picture.
Is this time to ask a question? Okay, I'm trying to tie this pattern back to this concept of, well, so we go through initiation and then go back through the bodies. So when we hit the stuck place, is that the place where we've recognized, wow, this is just a corpse, and there's now something in me that sees that I can raise it? Is that tying that concept to this pattern?
Yeah. So when I want to work on myself, suppose I have something that's not working in my life. One of the bodies is not passing on the activity to another one. That's just a given. So if I was a realized person, the energy would come in, I'd be in the choir, I'd be, you know, up there with the archai, kind of doing something at some level, and I'd be here at the same time. This is Buddha or somebody like that who's doing big deeds, yeah? Initiation. But most of us can't go there, because somewhere in the subtle bodies we have a belief about something. And the belief makes that subtle body more manifest than it should be. Makes it more physical, more towards the physical. Becomes less fluid, less labial, less flexible. This is belief structures. And the irony with humans is the more I know, the more I'm in danger of ossifying about what I know, because I think that's what everybody else should know. So on this path of knowledge for Rudolf Steiner, let me tell you, there are a gazillion opportunities to find out what a bozo you are. Just when you think you got it, you pick up another book and go, oh, shh. Man, I thought you said the... And he'd go, yeah, I did. Got a problem with that? Oh, I see. Yeah, okay, well, take it in a sleep. Work on it. Because if you've got a problem with it, it means you have karma around it. Which means it's useful to you. If it's a difficulty that keeps coming back, it's just a little, hello. But we think it's because we're bad, because somebody told us we're bad because of a belief. So the path of initiation is to go, my bad, that's okay. I'm just a bozo on the bus and I'm working on it. What's the pattern? If I find out what the pattern is, then I can work with the pattern in the third person rather than being a bad person with a bunch of beliefs of why I'm bad. I need to get away from that because that is the greatest egoity, is thinking I am so bad. It's just like, I'm so bad that even God doesn't like me. Join the club. Okay, so, number two, figure two. This is the same thing, higher, lower, with something in between. We have the blood is the one in between. From Steiner's point of view, blood is a tablet written on from the inside, that's the lower part where I have digestive sensations that create activity in the sympathetic nervous system that creates secretions. That's from the inside. From the outside, I have outer sensations that go into the central nervous system and stimulate the glands. And the outer sensations act on the glands. They secrete down into the digestive area. The digestive area goes, whoa, man, I'm not having a good time with that sense experience, and comes back through digestive sensations, sympathetic nerves, and secretions, and it all dumps into the blood. So the blood is the go-between. And it's interesting that Steiner says, in the warmth of the blood, the I-being lives. So let's go to number three, where the I-being shows up. So the same pattern, physical body, life body, astral body, the three lower subtle bodies having to do with sensory input and physical sensory reactions connected to feelings. Digestive upsets, ADD, ADHD, PTSD, all these psychic difficulties coming out of inability to digest properly. Yeah, physical body, life body, lower part of the astral body, and then the I being, the representative of the blood, the representative of warmth in the middle, then changes the astral body into the subtle body called manas, the manas body, the transformed soul that gives rise to imaginative cognition. The language I'm speaking to you is what Ralph Steiner calls imagination. It's very precise because of these patterns. If you learn the pattern, then you can... It just makes a lot of sense. But if you don't know the pattern, it just seems like bunches of data. It's not bunches of data. The pattern is that the lower and the higher always go through a middle one for transformation. So if you look on figure 3, the astral body gets transformed into the manas body of imagination. The life body gets transformed into buddhi, which is the body in which we find inspiration. And the physical body becomes what is known as atma, intuition. Same pattern. So the I being in the warmth of the blood is monitoring the way in which the sense activity is operating, and in the process of being conscious of that is lifting what is going on in the soul up into imaginative consciousness by creating symbols. That's initiation. That's Steiner's path of development. That's the task of this age today, is manas, to take the soul body and transform it into exact imaginative consciousness. Create what's known as the manas body, the manasic body. The I being does that as a fulcrum going between my soul and a meditative state where I come in contact with my true self. That's where I'm going to steer the ship. How do we do that? We have to develop a meditative practice which understands that my consciousness is the fulcrum. The consciousness that I bring to the table is the fulcrum for the cosmos. It's a scary thought. But it's our, that's, we're the designated bozo on the bus. Because we've been given freedom to change a thinking and a feeling that is in error. Usually it's in error when I am judging someone else or casting onto them. And I have some juicy quotes from Steiner about the social thing, about programs and casting onto other people things that create difficulties for them as the source of the way in which all of the yucky stuff happens. It's just this tendency to just project, it's called projection. Okay? And then just to round this off, to take it into sleep, number 4 is we have the physical body and atma, just like in figure 3, life body and buddhi, figure 3, astral body and manas, but you'll see astral body has a little the designator there. The astral body is broken into 3 bodies, consciousness soul, mind soul, and sentient soul. So if I count them, physical body, life body, astral body, I being, manas, buddhi, atma, 3, 6, 7, sentient, mind, consciousness, 8, 9, 10. So we could do 7, we could just do astral body, I being, manas, buddhi, atma, but if we break the soul out, we get 9, sometimes 10, baker's dozen, let's go for it. Okay, so I want to show you how Steiner's work connects to other people like Carl Jung and whatever, who, and ancient traditions of how to first separate the subtle bodies, then bring them back together again. It's necessary to separate them so I can look at them as if they belong to someone else. If I can't separate out the bodies, they just go on being, projecting what they believe. So the separating of the bodies in today's world called therapy. In the old days, it used to be called a good friend. So when I learned how to separate out my thinking, feeling, and willing, and look at them in my subtle bodies, my life body separates from my physical body, my physical body separates from my soul body, and I work with them into sleep, because that's where they get refurbished. I can't do it myself because I'm still part of the given. But the part of me that's part of the given is the natural part of me that has digestive problems. The digestive problems are just the way that the creation is trying to help me change my belief. It's a strange way to look at it, but... So the difficulties I have are actually the hierarchies giving to me impulses and say, you need to change this. And if I can get that and use this model and work with it, I can ask, where is my stuck place? Where in this do I find that it jumps the track?
In your book, Seer's Handbook, is this related to the competent keeper and the,
yes,
and the four lives?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So this is when we go up into freedom, we're not left alone. We have a being that stands on the threshold between the worlds, who used to be part of the given, that says, I will take your junk and correct it from you and make your karma, and you're going to deal with it when you come back. And now, according to Rudolf Steiner, that being is still there, but shows you a picture, a movie, of what you did, and ask you, how do you feel about that? And out of the goodness of who you are, you go, oh, yeah, because you see how the other person received what you did. You see that.
Being able to look from the other side.
And you can see from the other side, because now you are in the manas and buddhi and atma bodies. You're no longer receiving sense impressions from the physical and etheric bodies. Your sense impressions are coming from the experiences that you've managed to bring to consciousness in imaginative consciousness and inspired consciousness. Times when you've sacrificed, times when you have forgiven, things like that. They actually form a subtle body in the higher realm that you can get access to in times of trouble. But you always have to go through the guardian in order to get access, and the guardian will always say, just like Christ did, do you believe you can be healed? Do you believe you can change the way you're thinking about this? And if you don't, it's like, okay, I'll be here. Come on back when when you want to talk, we'll talk. Hey, come on, we'll talk.
So this thing about karma, and I've read a lot about Eastern philosophy and burning the seeds of karma. And I love what you said here about warmth develops and fire destroys. And is some karma worth destroying and others worth developing
for
your benefit?
Your heart decides what to do when you experience in Kama Loka how that person received what you did. You are shown how they received it. And your heart grows with them. And you go, whoa, I never realized that's what was going on. So suddenly your consciousness, you are in consciousness soul as it's phasing into manas. Your imaginations are of a higher realm, where when you pass away, you become that person that you don't like, or that doesn't like you. And when that happens, that burning, that's what, you know, that's kamaloka, the burning of desire. The desire to, if you're not first, you're last. So if you acted out of that to the other person, when you pass away, you experience that and you go, oh, wow. And the guardian says to you, how do you feel about that? Oh, I never realized. Well, what would you like to do? Well, I could, this would probably make me feel better if I were them. Okay, write that down. That's your karma. It's not given to you by somebody that says, I judge you and so you're bad and so that you're going to come back as a cockroach with a broken leg, you know. This is, I decide what would make that better. And then that gets written down in the big book that my angel holds during my life. It keeps trying to remember. Remember when you said you were going to do this? I'll be back. You know, it's like Schwarzenegger. I'll be back. You know, he goes back and trashes everything. I'll be back. So I'll be back when you're ready. I'll be back. I'll show you the book. You decide. It's all total freedom. You decide everything. But when you're on the other side, you are one with them, which requires on this side, you change the relationship between your physical body, your life body, and the link, the sentient body. You have to go back and change that so that when you pass away on the other side, that link is already cleared out. Otherwise, when you go there, it's going to be really bad. You're just going to go, oh, man. And then you make really bad judgments over there about what would make it better. And then you come back and go, how come my life stinks? Well, nobody is making it happen because it's freedom. So the esoteric rules, Christ is now the Lord of karma. And the whole issue is Steiner's picture is freedom is the most sacred thing for the humans that even the hierarchies can't mess with. Even the bad hierarchies can't take your freedom, but they can make you wish to give them your freedom through making pictures happen in your soul that you can't control. And when that happens, then you say, please come and visit me and we'll have a party, and then that happens. So the freedom, the I being here in the middle, the I, is freedom. It is the gift we've been given to be the rectifier for above and below. And if we can treat other people as if they had an I being, then we're equals in this life. When we don't, that's the cause of all kinds of social malaise. When
that's a jump start on
yeah, later. Exactly. Exactly. So we can do that here. It's a jump start on when we go over there. We've already paid off the credit cards. You know, they're not going to just show up and go, well, we found problems here. You've already dealt with it. So tonight, what I'd like you to do is to try to recall any element out of these first four diagrams that seemed to speak to you as I was presenting, and just run a picture of even just the words, the high one connects to the low one, and then the next one connects to the next higher one. Make a little kind of a movie of how that would be, as if you were doing a flash movie on your computer or something, you know. Two the high and low light up, and then the next one, and then a little arrow goes down. And however you can do that to make the diagram an interactivity. Do that before you go to sleep. That above and below is the pattern in so many things. So we want to take that pattern, that's our mantra for the week, is this, as above, so below, as below, so above, with the one in the middle as the rectifier, and take that into sleep however you wish. And we'll be using that as a seed force to start a process. And then in the morning, the struggle is to have 4 or 5 minutes of silence. So you can actually hear your heartbeat. When it gets quiet enough so that you can get in contact with your heartbeat and track it, and then when you go off, not the blame and shame tapes, just, oh, there I go, bring your consciousness back and say, I'm just listening to my heart. Do that for 5 minutes, and then we'll come in, and the first thing we'll do in the morning is share a little bit of a dream, if you had one. We'll have a dream buddy that we connect up with. Have good dreams.